Welcome back, everybody. I am here with Mr. Justin. How are you doing today, Mr. Justin?
I am pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How's everything around your area?
It's fine. Everything's going pretty good.
That's awesome. So can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
I'm 34 years old. I am a product and ad photographer mostly, but I also do portraits and nightclubs and events and weddings, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. So how did you get started doing photography?
I started doing photography when I was about 13 years old. My grandparents bought me my first camera, and I've always just been interested. So I've been doing it for about 21 years now.
Oh, wow. what kind of camera did you start out with, and what kind of gear?
I started out with a Canon... I can't remember what it was. I think it was a Rebel, old film Rebel. And then I got my first digital was a Fuji back in 2001 or two. I can't remember.
Now,
been a minute.
Right. So your first camera, you had to do did you develop the film yourself, or did you have it somewhere taken to?
Oh, I'd send it out.
You send it out. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have any space for like a dark room or anything.
So what kind of camera do you use now?
I have a 5D Mark II, a Mark III, a Mark IV, and I have just a couple other like 60D, 70D camera throw around cameras.
Oh, wow. Well, which one's your favorite to use?
I use my 5D Mark III the most when I am out and about, but when I'm in the studio, I use the Mark IV.
Do you have a camera that you just take with you everywhere, even the vacations or just travel with you to work or whatever, just in case you get a inspiring moment?
My 5D Mark III, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Mark II is the backup, and the Mark IV is the one that stays in the studio. The Mark III is the one that travels around.
So what do you think that has improved in your photography, and what do you think that still needs to be improved?
My composition's gotten better. How I light things is always getting better, and that's something I always continuously work on. I work for a company called iHerb, and I do their product and ad photography. And my boss there is just phenomenal. The guy's he knows his business and he knows it well. And he knows more than I have ever forgotten. You know, he's just really, really smart. And he is really good at pretty much everything, but he's helping me with my interior shots. Is something I need to work on because I have a hard time taking pictures of interiors without a subject. Like having the interior be the subject is kind of hard for my head to wrap around, but my boss is pretty good. So
that's cool. That.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How exactly did you get into doing ad photography?
Oh, well, I started doing small time stuff for Etsy and like local craftspeople about 10 or 11 years ago. And I started doing that for just local people. And then I built up kind of a resume. And then I started working at this company called Coupang, which is a Korean Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and doing product photography for them. And then I ended up going to a company called Starcrest, doing product photography for them. And then I went to Southwest Boulder and Stone. And then I worked for them for a minute, but they were awful. I don't care if they hear this. Anyway, then I worked for iHerb, which is the company I'm at now. And it's probably the best company I've ever set foot in. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite ad to shoot so far?
That's kind of a hard question. I don't really keep track of them. They're just kind of assignments and stuff we do. We did one with this green tea that was pretty cool. It was very like dark and moody and pretty and very like it looked like it was a open window shot in a dark house, but it wasn't. It was in the studio, but it was just nice. I couldn't really tell you, like, there's no, I don't shoot for Coca-Cola or nothing huge like that. Just iHerb and our banner stuff and ad stuff. I did shoot for ad photography for other companies too, but they were just, you know, catalogs and whatever, and they were fine. But so I don't have a, like, a favorite. I have favorite portraits and I have favorite shoots that I've done, but not favorite ads.
Okay. So how exactly did you move from, you said, I believe when I asked you the question in the message, you said that you do ad photography, but your love is portrait, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you move from, I mean, you're still doing ad, obviously, but how did you get more into doing portrait than doing ad?
Oh, I've been doing portrait photography since I started. I did editorial work when I was in high school, and I shot for, you know, the school. And then I just did portraits and stuff outside of high school and after high school, and did bands and just people. And it's just something I've always loved to do. I've done a lot of, I like fine art portraits, you know, stuff that's very, like, dramatic and the light's really just pretty. And, you know, I love studio lighting. I didn't used to. I used to be like, oh, I'm only natural light.
You there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How weird.
Okay, good. I don't, it's happened before, but go ahead.
Where what was the last thing you heard me say?
Honestly, I don't remember. I all of a sudden you're explaining and then you cut off.
Oh yeah, I think it's my phone fell asleep. Well, I'll just go back to the beginning. I started doing portrait photography in high school, mm-hmm. and I've always loved it. I like capturing people, and I like doing fine art photography. So, like, fine art portraits, like Annie Leibovitz is a big inspiration. I love her stuff. So I try to, like, get some dramatic, you know, work done. I don't do Annie Leibovitz type portraits because she's on another level. But I do what I can with the space I'm allotted.
What has been so what has been your favorite portrait so far?
I think the one I shot of a friend named Ebony, it's very just, I'll send you a picture on Instagram later, but it's very pretty. It's just, she's very mysterious, she's very elegant, and the portrait just kind of, like, reflects everything about her. And I think that it, I don't know, it just captures a lot in one image. You can see a story on her face, and yeah, that's probably my favorite. I've taken some of my son that are pretty good, and I've taken some of other people, you know, that I've done professionally and gotten paid for, obviously, but I just there's some that just mean more to me, you know. Obviously my son means a lot more to me than stranger's kid, but
of course.
But
some days,
yeah. But yeah, I have some portraits that just mean a lot because they took a lot and I learned a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so Ebony's, her portrait's one of those.
So you said you did it from the very beginning. Have you ever tried any other photography besides portrait or ad?
Yeah, I do nightclub and event photography. I've done wedding photography. I do wedding photography all the time. Probably like 5 times a year, 6 times a year. So it's not every, I'm not a full-time wedding photographer.
Yeah.
Too much work on top of the work I already have, but
it is a lot of work.
It's a pain in the butt, but I enjoy it when I do it. But I've done automotive photography. I've done sports photography. I've done a lot of different types of photography, but you know, if you're a jack of all trades, you're a master of none kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I try to focus it on what I'm intending to make my money at. So I stick mostly to three categories, which is event, portrait, and product.
So somebody that's starting out, that wants to do, we'll do all three of them. You said portrait, event, and product.
Yeah.
So somebody that wants to start out doing, events, doing photography for events, how would you, explain to them, hey, this is how I started, or this is what I think you should do.
Okay. Well, get to know local restaurants, because I do a lot of nightclub photography, and mm-hmm. that once you do nightclubs and stuff, you start getting a network. So what you should do is get a network of restaurants and club owners and start making friends, asking who their photographer is, and then get a hold of their photographer and say, hey, if you ever need help or need somebody to cover you a night, because sometimes they can't do two nights, like, hey, I'll even take a reduced pay or whatever, you get a cut and then I'll take the rest or whatever, just so you can get your foot in the door and get some experience. Cause that's what I did. I did that about 10 years ago. A photographer named Brian Giardinelli, who's fantastic. He was actually a Bernie Sanders official photographer on his campaign trail, which is pretty cool that he got to, follow around a presidential candidate. He followed him around and did all his photos. And I was like, that's just neat to be able to do that for anybody. But so he got too busy with all of his other stuff. And so he was having me fill in for him for nightclubs. And then I became in the Temecula, which is where local area here, I became like the nightclub photographer. So I shot for 6 or 7 clubs out here pretty consistently. Like sometimes I'd shoot 4 times a week, So it got pretty busy. And so just making connections is the biggest part of any trade, really. Finding out who you can know and making friends with the right people. So,
right. So how would you do for someone starting out, that what you just said could go as for the ad, doing ad photography too.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you, if I came up to you saying, I want to do portrait, I would like to, start doing portrait photography. How would you explain to me, okay, you should start here and go to here.
I would tell you, take a class in composition. I would say learn lighting. Oh my Hello? Goodness.
Oh, it's all good.
What was the last time you heard me say my phone went to sleep again?
Going to, I believe, a class.
Okay. Jeez, priest, I said so much. I need to be more on my phone. Okay. So go to a class and learn something from someone else. Don't be burdened by pride. Don't think you're too good to learn something from someone and you want to learn everything on your own. And my wife, she's kind of stubborn a little bit and she wants to learn everything on her own. And that's fine too. But when you do that, you waste a whole lot of time learning from your own mistakes when you could have learned from somebody else who already made those mistakes. When I go to Lowe's, I don't spend an hour searching for what I need. I go directly to somebody who knows something and say, hey, I'm looking for this thing. Do you know where it's at? And they say, oh, aisle 12. Off I go. I don't waste my time. And that's the way it should be with photography. If you can learn something from somebody, do it. And especially if it's being made available to you, always take that opportunity. Always take the gift of knowledge that someone's willing to give you. don't ever shun it, you know?
Exactly. I agree. So how somebody like, all right, another question is another somebody, you know, just starting out. And I'm this, I know you're from California, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm, you know, in New York and they call me or I message you saying, you know, hey, I would like to, you know, start doing photography, but I was wondering, should I message other photographers around my area, you know, to get a different taste to see if they will, I can be their shadow and go into, you know, follow them around and see if they'll teach me anything and see if that photography is for me.
Yeah. The way to do that is to message a photographer, get on Facebook groups. Facebook is right now is it's very helpful. Back when I started, there was no Facebook groups. You just had to go to shows and meet people and like go to different events and meet people, which is fine. But now you don't have to go anywhere. You can just get online. So go on Facebook, join a photography group, a local photography group, and say, hey, I'm wanting to shadow somebody. Can I be a second? I can assist you. I'll work for free. If you're just trying to learn, knowledge is payment. If you don't have knowledge, getting paid in knowledge is perfectly fine. Don't have too much pride where you're going to turn that down. I've known too many people who they get a big head on their shoulders right when they buy a camera. And yeah, you may have taken a picture that looks pretty cool, but if you don't know what you're doing and somebody else does know what they're doing and they're willing to teach you, never say, oh, well, I'll help you, but pay me, and miss out on an opportunity to learn. So yeah. So I would suggest like, hey, I'm willing to follow you around, and don't do that forever, but learn something, you know, like go and offer your services for free on a Facebook group. That would help a lot.
Yeah. I agree with you. Don't do it forever, but if you're really serious about doing photography, and it doesn't matter what kind of photography you're wanting to do, let's say you're wanting to do landscape. Well, there's really no landscape photographer near you, but just say you're near me but you're doing portrait. Well, yes, there are two different forms of photography, but still, I feel like you can still go to the person the photographer that's doing portrait, and you can still learn something from them to do landscape.
Yeah, everybody has knowledge that's applicable in some part of photography anywhere else. So once you learn like the triangle of light, you learn what you're needing to do to get that, framing and all that stuff. You know, once you learn the basics, you can take those to anywhere. You know, you can take the triangle of light to any aspect of photography. It's just basically learning what the function of your camera is. And once you learn how to crawl, you can learn how to walk in any other direction you want. It just takes a little bit of direction, you know? So that's a good thing for YouTube. You know, another thing I didn't have when I started out, God, I feel so old. when I started, they didn't have YouTube tutorials on it. I just had to learn, and which is fine. But now there's so many freaking tutorials on how to do this, how to get a good portrait, how to get a good landscape, how to get a good this or that. There's great Instagram groups like PhotoG for product photography. And there's great for like Photoshop and Lightroom Facebook groups or YouTube channels, you know, like Pixinperfect. Pixinperfect, if you want to learn Photoshop, he is the best. He teaches really? You. Yeah. Oh, he's amazing. The guy, he teaches you kind of like you were a slow kitten, you know, he doesn't do it. He's not in a condescending way, just a very like, hey, I'm going to explain this to you in the best way I can and the easiest way I can. And it's very helpful. The guy is just, and he's a really nice guy too. I've talked to him a few times, but he's just very good at explaining everything you need to know about a Photoshop project.
So, really?
Yeah, so you should check out Pixinperfect.
I'll have to check that out. So, what have you learned since you have started doing photography?
Oh, I have learned customer service. I have learned business management. I have learned taxes. I have learned organization. I learned a little bit of photography. You learn a lot more about how to do everything else than just photography. I'm still learning photography. I always feel like every time I go out, there's something more to learn, you know?
There is.
Like every single time you step out the door with your camera, you got to learn something new. Like I said, I've been doing photography for over 20 years, and I just went to our company's headquarters. Well, our new executive office in a town called Irvine, and beautiful building, beautiful. And my boss, who just knows just about everything, he was there, and I was shooting the interior shots, the drone shots outside, you know, the exterior shots and all that. And when I was shooting the interior shots, it was like everything I've ever learned has left my brain. I have never picked up a camera before, and I don't know what anything is in the whole world. That's what it felt like. And so I had to learn how to, that was just an anxiety thing, but also how to do adaptive lighting, because some of these new office buildings have like kind of an organic lighting where mm-hmm. the closer the lights are to the windows, the dimmer they get. So the outside light, it's more of a natural light inside the building. So it's kind of dim inside, and you have this like overwhelming light from the windows. And this building was surrounded. The office was 360 glass, you know, so everything was surrounded by windows. And so I had to learn to figure out how to light in there so I can get an even lighting when there is no even lighting. And yeah, it's a tough thing to do. So, you know, I'm learning more about lighting every day. I'm learning more about just the functionality of all kinds of new cameras. I shoot in manual all the time. I don't venture out to any other modes. And I feel like I should, because some of these new cameras, they do a lot of cool stuff. And I never explore it. So that's probably something I'm going to be messing with probably today. But yeah, so just learning more about lighting every day. Lighting is the biggest part of anything to me, because you can't have a photo without good light.
Exactly. So going into, you know, someone that's starting out once again, but they're wanting to learn photography, and they wanting to learn, you know, or they're wanting to do it for money, and they wanting to do it for their prime income. Well, how would you tell somebody, you know, all right, if you're just starting out, you should charge for a portrait, you know, I don't know, 5 pictures, 10 pictures, $50. And then, I mean, right?
You're asking me to tell somebody how to price themselves?
Okay.
Yeah, that is the one of the most difficult questions. You're basically saying, hey, I want you to put a price tag on yourself. What are you worth as a person and a photographer and a business? That question is so difficult, and I have a hard time doing it myself. Like, I charge $250 for a portrait session, which is about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have friends who charge $600 for a 45-minute session. I have friends that charge $1,000 for a portrait session. I have a friend named Mike who lives in LA. He charges $10,000 for a wedding, which is, you know, a bigger deal. But he also charges about $2,000 for a portrait session.
Yeah.
And gauging yourself and what you're worth personally is so difficult. I feel like my art and my ability to create a photo is worth something, but I will always struggle with how much. Some people, they know, they just like my friend Mike, he hates doing weddings, but he's good at it. He just hates it. So he charges $10,000. Cause he's like, if somebody's willing to pay that, I'll do it. his portrait sessions are they're good. You know, they're fine. I don't think he's any better than I am, but he gets the clients cause he believes he is. You know, not saying he believes he's better than anybody. He just believes that he is worth what he's charging, because to him he is, and that's fine. I charge what I charge because I have a full-time you know, 401k job that pays well. So I don't feel like I can warrant charging $600 for a 45 minute session. I don't necessarily feel that my photos aren't worth that. I just feel that that's what I charge. So charging, figuring out what to charge is already a difficult thing. I think when you're starting out, look at the surrounding photographers and get an average of what they're charging. You know, look at the prices of, like, say 10 local photographers in your area, and then look at the highest, look at the lowest, and then just do an average. And if you feel that's what you're worth, then do it. You know, if you want to go a little bit lower until you feel that you're worth more, do that too. Or if you feel like you're kicking ass, go for it, you know?
Right.
Sorry if that answer was kind of convoluted.
Oh, no, you're fine. So starting out, when you're doing the photography, what do you think, besides learning, you know, how to work your camera and doing photography, what do you think that you struggled with probably the most, like the business side or the, you know, the getting the clients, advertising?
I have a, I don't advertise, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, you'd be sorry for it. The reason I don't advertise is because it's word of mouth is the best advertisement you can get. Do work for people, do good work for people, and people will spread your name. Mm-hmm. I did family portraits for this family, and I do their family portraits probably twice a year for the last 4 years. They have told at least 24 people about me, and I've had probably 3 or 4 steady clients from that. And same with all those people. So I get steady work without even looking for it. People just hit me up every couple weeks or every week, and they're just like, hey, I need photos done. Hey, I need a photo edited. Hey, I need pictures restored. Hey, I need this or that or Photoshop work. And I heard you do good work from so-and-so. That's the best form of advertising you can get. You can also pay for advertising if you want to go wider scale or whatnot. I had a friend who, he was a sheriff. He quit being a sheriff to be a photographer full time, which was mind blowing to me, which is good for him. You know, that's awesome. But he shelled out a lot in just advertising. He got his whole business rolling really quick. So you can do it either way. But I still feel that word of mouth is the best. The biggest struggle I had, though, when I started out and working with people, is I don't deal well with bad attitudes. I don't deal with well with disrespect. I don't deal well with people being rude. I don't. And so I've had a hard time learning to bite my tongue when someone's being, I don't know. Cause when you're doing, especially when you do headshots for people, people, every little thing, like, oh, well, can you make my left eye a little bigger? Oh, my eyelashes look weird right there. Oh, you know, I have this like crow's foot, like that you can't really see, but I can feel that it's there. So can you do something about that? And they have a lot of ridiculous demands. And so I have a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just can't do that. You know, I say no a lot. And that's something I've been working on. So I've learned in the past few years to get better at it, especially when I'm working with a lot of clients. When I'm doing product photography, the product doesn't give me attitude. The product doesn't say anything rude. The product doesn't get snippy for no reason, you know?
Right.
My boss, who is a saint of a man, have you ever seen the Lego movie?
Probably with the kids. I don't know which. I mean, there's more than one though out, right?
Well, yeah, any of them. The main character Emmett, who is like, "Hello, sunshine. Hello, trees." He's just like a bright ray of sunshine. That's my boss. My boss. He says yes to every request. He doesn't have a problem with that. No matter how ridiculous the request, he just says, "Absolutely, we'll get right on it." And I tell him, stop it. No. Tell them to be like, every once in a while, he'll come to me and say, hey, I want to do this thing. And I say, don't do that. That's ridiculous. And he goes, thank you. I needed somebody to say no. So I guess don't be afraid to say no. If somebody's being rude to you, like, okay, I did a TikTok about that photographer who deleted the photos at the wedding.
Oh, that's how I found you.
Oh, okay.
That's how I found you. Yes, I remember that one.
Okay, so the whole point of that was nobody, not a single person who has ever done a job, they don't sign a contract for being to be disrespected. No one.
Yes.
When you sign a contract, you're not saying, hey, this allows you to disrespect me as a human being on a basic level. Nobody deserves that. Nobody requests that. And it's not a thing that when going into a professional setting, anybody should do. I don't tolerate it. If somebody treated me disrespectfully on a shoot, I would say goodbye. I've done it a couple times because I treat people like I would treat anyone else. I treat somebody like a friend until they're disrespectful. And then I say, okay, I can't do that. You know?
Exactly. You treat somebody that you, the way you want it to be treated.
Exactly. Exactly. The golden rule applies and it's a very easy rule to follow.
Yes.
So like I had a girl, she drove out 3.5 hours to come to my studio and do photos. It was an hour session. She was here for 15 minutes at most. And she was just very like, okay, I think I got it. I got it. You got it. I don't need to see these pictures. I know you can do it. I don't need you to see. I don't need you to show me. And I was like, okay, I need you to tone down the attitude.
Wow.
You drove a very long way to take these pictures for an hour. She's like, yeah, I know, but I kind of just want to go home. I don't want to be on the road that long. And I was like, okay, well, these are the photos I have to work with and I can't do much more. And so she said, it's fine. I'm sure you got it. And I said, okay, as long as you're sure. And then when I sent her the photo, she wasn't happy with them. She said, I just wish we had a got this. I wish we had a got that. And I said, ma'am, I literally told you several times that this is something we needed to take more time on. And just taking a couple snapshots, like half of the pictures I took were just lighting tests to make sure I had her face lit right. And, she was like, well, can't you just keep photoshopping them and change my face? And she wanted me to change the direction in which she was looking with her entire face. And I'm like, that takes CGI at that point. You know, I can't just magically manifest a new side of your face. That's not how it works. And so after she made like I obliged her for about 4 or 5 different editings of her like 5 main images. I edited them a lot. And then eventually I just said, no, I will not be doing any more edits for you. I'm sorry. Good luck in the future. And then she's like, well, can I come back and do another photo session? And I said, no, I don't think so. And you get to choose who you work with, which is another beautiful thing. When you work for yourself, you get to say, hey, I don't want to work with this person anymore. And that's okay. You don't have to work with people. Don't feel like you have to do something because you don't.
You don't. Yeah. I mean, I remember that TikTok now, and I was thinking, dang, you know, I did a wedding back in July, and they kept on asking me. I didn't, you know, as like, hey, you know, go get a plate, go get a plate, go get a plate. Have you eaten? I mean, even the people that brought the food even asked me, and mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm good, I'm good. We didn't eat. My girlfriend went with me, but we didn't eat there. I mean, we weren't really hungry, but it wasn't that. It was, you know, I was trying to catch. It was my first wedding to do photography for, and I was, you know, anxious, trying to worry, trying to get everything I could. But now looking back, it's like, you know, when, and I think you said it in the TikTok, you know, or another person did, is like when the bride and the groom are eating, that's when you need to eat, so you can mm-hmm. you don't want to get a picture of Uncle Bob, you know, eating his dinner or whatever, or the food. But when when the bride and groom are eating, that's when you need to eat. So after, you know, before after they're done, you can be done and then you can keep on going. Yep. And so you can get their toast or whatever's next for that wedding.
Exactly. You need to have, and you don't need to sit there and eat for an hour. You know, like so many people have this idea in your head, like, oh, well, when photographers are eating, they're eating there. They're sitting there for an hour. No, like photographer sits down for 10 minutes, eats their food real quick, and then gets back out there. Not a big deal. It's a 10-15 minute break. Nobody's dying. And it's fair. It's more than fair to have a break when you're shooting a wedding. Like I just shot a wedding And they were, I did a follow-up TikTok. I don't know if you saw it, but the groom walked over and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, vendors don't eat." And he took my plate away.
Oh.
And it was just a joke. You know, we were just,
okay.
No, but he was, and I was like, just kidding afterwards, you know? But he's like, at that wedding specifically, he was like, "Hey, I have an open bar, dude. If you want to get lit, go get lit, you know, go get drunk, have a good time." And I'm like, "Nah, I got to drive home." But, you know, most weddings are very chill. They're very cool. People are like, "Hey, I want my photographer to have a good time." Because a lot of times, I don't know if you have this experience, when you get hired by a wedding or to do a wedding, you get kind of close with the bride and groom. You know, you mm-hmm. have a lot of conversations with them. You have a lot of communication back and forth, and you become like pretty acquainted. You don't not necessarily become best friends, but you do spend enough time getting to know them that you are more than just some stranger. And so yeah. A lot of times when you're at a wedding, they're feeding you because, for one, it's an industry standard. People deserve to be fed when they're shooting a wedding. I don't care what anybody says. There's a lot of comments. Like, that video had like 7,000 or 8,000 comments on it. And there's a surprising amount of people that say, "Just shut up and do your job." And I was like, that's the disrespect thing, man.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, when you go to this wedding, the people that hire you, they have jobs, yep. right? So they're telling you, okay, you can't, you're working, what, a 10-hour, 12-hour, just about a 12-hour day to doing, yeah. taking photos for them. Well, when they, during the week, when they work the 10, the 8, 10, 12 hours, or however long they work, they're saying that they don't get a break during throughout the day, a 15-minute break, a 30-minute lunch, or whatever. You know, yeah. it's... The total was an hour. So yeah. they're saying that, you know, oh, they can get that break during it. It's just like, how can I put it? It's just like when we go take photos for that wedding and that groom and bride, it's our job. And exactly. just like our job during, like their job during the week, they get a break of, you know, a 15-minute break to go sit down, you know, do whatever, or that 30-minute break to eat lunch. So I feel like next time, be like, "All right, so you're telling me I can't eat. Okay, that's fine. Well, don't you eat when you go to work?"
Exactly. And it's a very, like, it's a weird thing, because a lot of service people, like, if you're providing a service to people, they treat you like shit, man. They just really treat you poorly, and it's really unfair. Like, I've had the experience only a couple times as a photographer. I've done lots of service jobs throughout my life. But I've always maintained being a photographer for the last 20 some odd years, but I've had many other jobs, doing construction, doing pest control, doing, you know, maintenance work, all kinds of other side jobs. And when you're a service worker, people just treat you poorly, and it sucks. And so sometimes that transfers over to a skilled labor job, like being a photographer. Some people may not think of it as a skilled labor job. Some people think you can take these photos with a cell phone, more power to them. They're wrong. But it is a job that requires knowing what you're doing and to get that picture, the end result, you know. But sometimes it transfers over and people just treat you poorly. And it's like, why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I've only had two weddings ever. Where that one in that video where I said the wedding coordinator told me, "Oh, servers don't, or vendors don't eat." And I said, "No, I eat. It's in my contract." And then she's like, "Okay, well, you're eating last after everybody eats." And I said, "No, ma'am." You know, we had that back and forth. And then the other wedding where they didn't have food for anybody. That's the only other wedding I didn't eat. Like, they just had this small backyard wedding, and then they just hung out and had like little cocktails and like hors d'oeuvres, and everybody just left. And that was fine. That was like one of my first weddings. And after the 48 or 49 other weddings I've shot, I've eaten at every single one of them. You know, it wasn't a big deal. And
luckily, yeah. I've only done one wedding, and it was my cousin's. Let me see. My cousin's husband's sister.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then with the other portraits I did with the family and everybody, I mean, it was friends, a couple friends that had done it. And luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had a bad experience yet with the client.
That's great. I hope it stays that way.
Me too.
I've shot a lot of people. I've shot a lot of different families. I've shot a lot of different just individuals' portraits and whatever. I shot a campaign for – I've shot political campaigns, and most of them, perfectly fine. But you just get those ones, you know, that are just really weird, just really off. So
you get that one bag egg.
Yep, and it just really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. Like that girl that came over, and I shot her photos for 15 minutes, and then she left. After that, I'm just like, I don't want to do portraits for a while, you know? And mm-hmm. I know it's kind of petty. It's kind of like, all right, get over it, you know? And I had to talk to myself too, just like, all right, get over it. And I do, you know, I still do portraits and I still enjoy it. But yeah, I'm supposed to be actually doing a portrait tonight. Well, event photography for a DJ, but I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, because it's Halloween night or Halloween's Eve, and I have a lot of other plans, so probably not going to do it. I'm going to text you, like, no thanks.
Right. You know, like you said, you really can't do take photos at a wedding with a camera. I agree. And depending on what lens you use on the camera, you know, it makes mm-hmm. it better. On half my pictures, I'll be honest with you, on half my pictures on Instagram, my post, they're of my, they're taken with my iPhone, and I edit it in, what is that called? Lightroom.
Yeah.
And so it makes it a hell of a lot better, man. Speak of editing, what do you use to edit your photos?
I use several different things. I use Lightroom, I use Photoshop, and I use Capture One. Capture One, I had a hard time getting into, because at my old, a long time ago, I used the first edition of Capture One, and it was archaic, it was dinosaur, it was just a big sluggish mess. And so I kind of was like, ugh, I'm staying away from that. But then my boss was like, no, we need to switch over to Capture One. And I was like, all right. So I dragged my heels, and now I'm in love. It's so good. The sharpening tool on it alone, it's so crisp, it's so clean, it's so much better than Lightroom and Photoshop. It just is a better end result for your exports. I still like Lightroom because it does if you want to do presets or whatever, if you make a preset and you want to use that, there is no presets for a Capture One. And if I want to use some heavy editing, it's super easy just to you right click on a photo and say edit in Photoshop, off it goes, and whatever edit you make transfers over to Capture One, and it's seamless. So I use Capture One, Lightroom, and Photoshop. Those are my go-tos.
Now, Capture One is that only on a desktop or a laptop?
Yeah, it's only on desktop.
Okay. I was actually looking for it.
Capture One is fantastic. If you want to do mobile editing, I actually really like this app called Snapseed. I haven't used Lightroom's mobile editor. I did a long time ago, but I haven't touched it because I use Snapseed. It's really easy. You can do, spot correction, you know, and you can do a lot of just really the basic things you need for a cell phone.
Yes, that's the very first app I started using when I started doing photography. And looking back now, it's like, man, when I first started, I remember it's like, dang, that's a badass picture. And then looking back now, I'm like, I can't believe I did it like that. I put it so high. But you should also try another one. It's called PhotoLeap.
Leap. Okay.
Photo and then LEAP.
Okay.
But they got so many different kinds of, you know, color pop. You can heal stuff. I mean, it's very interesting. I use that one too when I want to try to erase something, or I go to Snapseed. So once again, I'm a new photographer, and I'm coming to you for advice. So if I wanted to get a new camera, you know, or I wanted to get the camera, and, you know, I've looked on, you know, Best Buy, Target, I've seen resale shops, you know, I'm sure just about every city has one. Where do you suggest, you know, somebody starting out, go get a camera, like a retail store, Best Buy, or like a, you know, a used one?
All right, I'm going to tell you my kit that I would get if I had to start over right now, and I was told I'm allotted four things. Mm-hmm. I would get a Canon 5D Mark II if I was like as a budget restraint. I would get a 5D Mark II. You can get one, a used one, for about $350-$400. Still a perfectly good workhorse of a camera. I still occasionally use mine. It's more of a backup, but it's still there. I would get the Sigma 35mm 1.4, which you can get used for about $500. I would get a newer flash. They're perfectly fine. They're not expensive. You can get one for $180, $100, between $100 and $200 for a newer off-camera flash. And I would get a zoom lens. A lot of people opt to get the 50mm lens, which I do like the 50mm, but I've actually grown to really love the 35mm 1.4. My kit right now, I have a 70-200 2.8 L lens. I have the Sigma 85mm 1.4 Art lens, and I have the Sigma 35mm 1.4, and I have a couple more lenses that I don't really ever use, the 28-105 or 24-105 L lens, and I don't really, it's fine. It's sharp as heck. I use it for studio stuff, for products, but yeah. And then I have a newer Q3 flash, which is actually super good. It blew me away with how bright it is and how responsive it is. The only thing I don't like about that flash is the trigger looks like a computer from 1984. It's just this big monstrous thing that sits on top of your camera, which is kind of annoying. But other than that, it's a great little flash. So yeah, I'd get two lenses. I'd get the camera and I'd get the flash.
So, okay. Well, would you go buy them brand new or would you buy them used?
No, I'd buy them used. I rarely buy things new, man. Yeah. Some people get it and they're like, oh, I want to get through warranty or whatever. I don't know. I bought my 5D Mark II used, Mark III, Mark IV. I bought the only cameras I bought brand new were my 70D, and I bought a lens new. I bought two lenses brand new. And then everything else I bought, and my flash, my Q3, I got new. Everything else I bought from Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. You know, I find good deals anywhere I can because, you know, it's about making money, not spending money. Sometimes, yeah, actually, you have to spend money to make money, whatever. But where you can, do. If you can find a cheap deal on a camera and it's a good deal. When I bought my 5D Mark III, I got it for $800. And it had 10,000 actuations. It had 10,000 shots through it. It was almost brand new. You can probably consider that brand new. It didn't even have a scuff on the camera. It was perfect. And the guy was like, "Yeah, I just don't shoot this stuff, and it's too much for me. So I just wanted to sell it." When I bought my 5D Mark II, I bought it from some doctor off Craigslist for $500 when it wasn't old. It was still going for about $1,500.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought it from some guy in Anaheim who was a doctor, and he just was like, "I bought this to take pictures of my kids. I got a cell phone. I don't need it." You know, so wherever you can find a deal, take that deal. You know, look up any deals you can. I got my 70-200 from some girl off Facebook, and I got that for $800, and that's a couple $1,000 lens. You know, maybe $1,600 lens. It's a fantastic lens. So yeah, anywhere you can do.
Right. So can you explain, you said about the lenses on the first part, the 50 millimeter lens and the 35 millimeter lens.
Yeah.
That's a tongue twister. Can you explain the difference?
Well, one's just longer. one's a little more zoomed in. You get a little more of a barrel effect with the 35 than you do the 50. The like for portraits, like the 85, I think is the perfect portrait lens. It's fantastic. It has a lot of. Have you ever seen what happens when you're the same length or distance away from somebody, but to get the same? Using different lenses, like a 35, 50, 85, whatever, and you're the same distance away from somebody, you'll see their face looks completely different in each focal length. Because that's called barrel distortion and compression and whatnot. So it changes the shape of their faces. Not necessarily a bad thing. You can correct it by backing up and whatever. I use the 35 millimeter for a lot of portraits. Some people don't like that. I like it for outside portraits. I think they offer a lot. I use my 85 millimeter for other like more intimate portraits where I like I'm inside of a studio. And sometimes I use my 70-200 just for the compression and the different look. I'll send you those three different, what's it called? Examples on Instagram.
Okay. But
yeah, so they do different things like compressions. One, you know what compression is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, sorry.
No, you're all right.
You know, the 70-200, it has great compression. It brings the back forward and just makes a nice bokeh. The 85 millimeter has a smooth bokeh and it just has a different feel to it. The 35 millimeter, it gives it a wide open look. And I like that too. So it just all depends on what you're going for.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. So, do you have any tips for someone that is looking to start doing photography or wanted to do product or ad or portrait?
Yeah, I'll go through it. Start off shadowing someone, learn from other people's mistakes, do as much as you can on your own, like setting up stuff at home. Like if you want to do product photography, look up how products are shot. Look up how the lighting is shot. Look up like what the style is. Look at the different kinds of styles. Like look at ads and magazines. Look at ads online. Just Google, you know, images of product photography and then try to emulate it at home. Like put a stuffed bear on a table and try to get the light right, try to get the image right, try to get the framing right, try to get everything to match what you see in the other picture. It's not plagiarism, it's learning. So once you learn how to do that, you can do whatever you want. Once you learn how to control the light to create an image, you can take that image wherever you want to go. So I would do that. I would follow people that know more than me. I would shadow people that could teach me something and I could help them. Like I can carry your bag for you. I can hold a light stand for you. I can do whatever you need me to do and just learn from them. That's always a good thing to do. I would make as many connections as you can. I would go to mixers and like small business meetings. Like if some towns have like conventions where like small business, like 101 class or come over to this warehouse. We're having a mixer where all the local businesses like trade information and trade samples of their work. You know, I've done that like maybe 5 or 6 times, especially when I first started out. And just make connections. Making connections is more important than a lot of things. So I would do that. I would make sure that I understood my gear. I would understand my fundamentals. I would Google just the triangle of light. I would Google like just framing, and I would Google how to just basics, you know, learn how to walk before you can run. So
yeah.
I feel like I've ranted a lot of things off at once. I hope that was
that is perfectly fine. Well, before we go, do you have or your Instagram or Facebook or TikToks where people can see more of your work or behind the scenes?
Yeah, my TikTok is Justin Shoots Canon, and so is my Instagram. my website is gummophotography.com. Yeah. And I don't really post anything on Facebook. You can go there, but it's ghost town. I'm terrible at social media. So I'm really active on TikTok. I'm really active on Instagram though. So
awesome. Well, Justin, it has been a pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Likewise, sir.
And I hope you have a good rest of the day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. Welcome back to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I am your host, Ronnie Cook. Man, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Me, my girlfriend cooked turkey for the family. Her mom and brother came over. Man, we had turkey. We had laughs. We had a blast on Thanksgiving. But I hope everyone out there that's listening had a wonderful Thanksgiving. So this brings me to the next episode. I have another photographer from the West Coast, and he gets into ad photography. So, further, without further ado, please help me welcome Justin. And here's the episode. Man, it is always amazing talking to all these photographers and getting how they got started doing photography. And talking to Justin, I mean, it was amazing. So this leads me with, like usual, a quote, which I don't have one today, but I want you to look back on what you did on 2021, I mean, and see how far your progress has been. It's been a whole year. And look back from, if you just started doing photography in January, and look back and see how far you came. See how far your photos have come. You know, from starting out, and it doesn't look very well to you, and then looking at it now, it just pops. And I want you to take that into 2022 and just continue to grow. And don't stop from there. Just keep growing. Keep going and pushing yourself to be a better photographer. I know y'all can do it. So this is the last the last podcast for 2021. And I just want to say I really appreciate all the photographers coming on, doing the interviews, and sharing their stories. And for all of my listeners out there listening to these the stories that these photographers are telling on how they got started, and you know how they would tell someone that is just starting out, you know, do this, do that, or just follow your dreams. But I'm going to leave y'all with this. Follow your dreams. Follow your dreams, and don't let anyone tell you you cannot do something when y'all know y'all can. So I hope everyone had a great 2021, and everybody that has a great 2022, a new year. And remember, new year, new you. And we will be back in 2022 better than ever, and we'll go from there. So signing off. Thank you everyone for listening, and I'll see y'all in 2022. Peace.